Jan LeCun just raised $1.03 billion.
Yeah, it's a staggering number.
And he is going to use it to try and prove that almost everything OpenAI, Meta, and Anthropic are building right now is fundamentally a dead end.
A total architectural dead end.
Right. So, welcome to the table. Today, we're bringing you a deep dive into the Atomic News Weekly Tech Review for the week of March 15th, 2026.
Glad to be here for this one.
And our mission today is very specific. We are going to try to cut through the immense, honestly deafening hype of the current AI news cycle. We want to decode the underlying tectonic shifts.
Because there's a lot of noise right now.
Exactly. We aren't just looking at, who raised money this week. We are looking at where the entire paradigm of artificial intelligence is fundamentally breaking, mutating, and reorganizing. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, the numbers we're analyzing today are huge, obviously. But for everyone listening, you really have to look past the dollar amount.
$1 billion is just the headline.
Right. The capital moving across the board right now is just a very loud signal pointing to a much deeper, almost existential debate about what intelligence actually is.
Totally.
What we are seeing in this week's sources is a massive fracture between the people trying to just scale up current systems and the people who believe the foundational architecture is fatally flawed.
And there is absolutely no louder signal of that fracture than our story of the week. We have to talk about Jan LeCun's seed round.
Oh, yeah.
And I really need to emphasize the phrase seed round here. I mean, in the tech world, a seed round is supposed to be, what, a few million dollars to build a prototype?
Usually, yeah. Just to get an idea off the ground.
Right. But LeCun just raised $1.03 billion for his seed round. That is the largest in the history of artificial intelligence. And the crazy part, he's not building a large language model.
No, he's actively betting against the dominant scaling hypothesis.
Which is huge.
It is. For the last few years, the entire industry has basically been running on this one assumption. The idea is that if you just feed a large language model more text data and, throw more compute power at it, it will eventually cross some magical threshold and become an artificial general intelligence.
AGI.
Right, AGI.
Right.
But LeCun is planting a billion-dollar flag in the ground saying, no, that approach is a mathematical dead end.
So what is he building instead?
He is focusing entirely on physical world understanding, stuff like physics and high-dimensional spatial reasoning.
Wow.
His goal isn't to build a better chatbot to compete with ChatGPT. He wants to make the underlying architecture of ChatGPT entirely irrelevant.
Because current models at their core are still just autoregressive next token predictors. I mean, since our audience follows this space, we all know that these models generate text by statistically guessing the next word.
Exactly.
But they don't simulate reality. They don't know that, say, dropping a glass on a tile floor shatters it because they have some internal physics engine that understands gravity or fragility.
Yeah, not at all.
They just know the word shatters statistically clusters near the word glass and tile.
Which, to be fair, works beautifully for writing code or drafting an email.
Right, they're great at that.
But it completely falls apart when you ask the model to navigate an unpredictable three-dimensional physical environment. Autoregressive models just cannot reason hierarchically about physical states.
They don't have a world model.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this ties perfectly into another fascinating piece of data from the AtDuramic newsletter this week. There's this model mentioned called Coconut AI, which was recently tested on a benchmark called ProSQA.
Oh, I saw this. And on paper, Coconut AI absolutely crushed it.
It did.
I mean, ProSQA is a notoriously difficult benchmark, right? It's designed to test propositional logic. It's meant to trick language models to see if they can actually follow a real chain of reasoning.
And Coconut hit a 97% performance rate.
97%. So for a brief moment, the headline was basically, we've done it, models can intrinsically reason.
Right, everyone was celebrating. But then a researcher dug into the actual mechanics of the model's output.
And what did they find?
Well, the researcher perturbated the inputs, meaning they slightly changed the order of the logical premises.
Oh, okay.
Now, if the model possessed true latent reasoning, meaning it had built a genuine internal representation of the logic, changing the order of the facts shouldn't change the conclusion.
Right. If I tell you fact A, then fact B, or fact B, then fact A, you still get to the same logical endpoint.
Exactly. But doing that caused Coconut AI to fail catastrophically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It proved the 97% score was just the illusion of good training. The model hadn't learned to reason at all. It had just probabilistically memorized the structural syntax of the grading metric itself.
That is wild.
It's basically the clever Hans effect applied to billion parameter neural networks.
Right. It sounds like it's like a student who memorized the entire physics textbook perfectly so they could ace the written exam. But if you actually put them on a bicycle, they'd fall right over.
Yes.
Because they don't intuitively understand balance. And LeCun wants to build the student who naturally knows how to ride the bike.
That's a great way to put it.
But I do have to push back on the economics of this for a second.
Yeah.
Even if the current models lack physical reasoning, $1 billion for a seed round for unproven physical AGI, that implies an insane level of risk.
It's a massive gamble.
Right. I mean, if the scaling laws of LLMs actually do hold up, that capital is completely vaporized.
What's fascinating here is that Silicon Valley's most powerful players are willing to fund this anti-LLM rebellion precisely because they are terrified the scaling laws are already hitting a brick wall.
Really? You think they're panicking?
I do.
When
you look at that $1 billion seed round, you aren't just seeing blind confidence in LeCun. You are seeing a $1 billion insurance policy against the reigning champions.
Ah, an insurance policy. That makes a lot of sense.
Investors are looking at the mirage of models like Coconut AI and worrying that the $1 trillion infrastructure pipeline we are currently building might be based on a fundamentally flawed premise.
And if the underlying architecture of LLMs is hitting a plateau, you would naturally expect to see the product layer start to fracture.
Which is exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, looking at the corporate scramble this week, it's pretty chaotic. Like, Meta's flagship model, Avocado AI, has been officially delayed to May or June.
Right, the infamous Avocado delay.
And the internal reports suggest it's basically struggling to beat Google's Gemini. But Meta's public relations team is loudly blaming the delay on safety testing.
Yeah, safety testing has become the industry's most convenient shield lately.
How so?
Well, when a company says they are delaying for safety, what it often means on a technical level is that the alignment tax is simply too high.
The alignment tax, let's break that down for the listener.
So as they try to fine-tune the model to not say dangerous things, usually through reinforcement learning from human feedback, they end up causing what's called catastrophic forgetting.
Oh, right.
The model becomes safer, yes, but it also becomes significantly stupider.
It loses its edge.
Exactly. So blaming safety buys them time with the public without having to admit technical defeat.
Meanwhile, while Meta is fighting that consumer battle and struggling with alignment, Anthropic is taking an entirely different route.
A very smart route, honestly.
Yeah, they just hit a staggering $380 billion valuation. But they're pivoting aggressively away from the consumer mud pit. They're going all in on enterprise dominance.
Yep.
They just launched a $100 million partner bet, and they are heavily pushing their Claude March usage promo.
Anthropic is really reading the geopolitical map of the AI landscape right now. Mm-hmm. They know OpenAI is inevitably going to drop GPT-5.
It's just a matter of time.
Right. So rather than waiting around to fight a pure capability war, Anthropic is trying to lock in the distribution layer today.
Got it.
That $100 million partner bet is essentially a massive subsidy to integrate their API deeply into the legacy software of Fortune 500 companies.
It's a total ecosystem play. I mean, if Anthropic can get Claude permanently embedded into a massive corporation's ERP systems, reading their internal Slack channels, and managing their supply chain databases, they basically become the invisible plumbing of that business.
And once you are the plumbing, the switching costs become mathematically unjustifiable for these companies.
Because it's too expensive to rip it all out.
Exactly. Even if GPT-5 turns out to be, say, 20% smarter than Claude,
mm-hmm.
a Fortune 500 company is not going to rip out its entire customized, fine-tuned enterprise workflow just for a marginal capability bump.
Right.
Anthropic isn't trying to build the smartest consumer chatbot anymore. They are building a moat out of corporate inertia.
And you can see exactly where that immediate enterprise value is being extracted this week in the newsletter. They highlight a specialized AI recruiting platform called Juicebox.
Juicebox, right.
Yeah, they just raised an $80 million Series B, giving them an $850 million valuation.
Almost a unicorn.
Almost. And this isn't general AI writing poetry. This is highly specific, applied AI.
And it is actively restructuring how human capital is allocated. I mean, Juicebox doesn't just scan resumes for keywords like the old software did.
What does it do?
It ingests market trends, it cross-references open source contributions on GitHub, analyzes candidate communications, and actually predicts tenure and success rates exponentially faster than a human HR department ever could.
Which makes me wonder about the broader economic impact for you, the listener, because Lightspeed just announced a new $9 billion AI investment pool.
That's a lot of dry powder.
Seriously. And if a specialized recruiting tool like Juicebox is suddenly worth nearly $1 billion, are we seeing the talent wars literally become algorithmic? Like, if you apply for a job tomorrow, the first three rounds of decision-making might be entirely automated by these enterprise pushes.
It essentially guarantees that human recruiters are being relegated to the very final mile of the hiring process.
Just the final handshake?
Pretty much. The smart money from firms like Lightspeed is signaling a huge shift. They aren't just trying to build the next godlike general intelligence anymore. They are deploying capital into companies that use applied AI to automate very specific, very lucrative white-collar bottlenecks.
But to build any of this, whether you are chasing a Lacan's physical AGI, trying to dig Anthropic's enterprise moat, or automating HR with Juicebox, you really need two fundamental resources.
Theory and compute.
Exactly. You need the theoretical research, and you need the raw compute power to run the math. And right now, both of those foundational layers are experiencing an unprecedented rebellion.
They really are.
Let's look at the research side first. The AtSeramic newsletter reports that Altaïf is officially breaking free from Cornell University.
This is a monumental shift in how human knowledge is gated. For anyone listening who might be unfamiliar with the exact mechanics, Altaïf is the preprint server where virtually every major artificial intelligence breakthrough is published before formal peer review.
It's the absolute lifeblood of academic AI research.
It really is.
And it has been operating under Cornell for years, but it is just buckling under the sheer volume. We're talking about tens of thousands of AI papers being submitted.
The scale is unbelievable.
Yeah. So now ArcSif is becoming an independent nonprofit. It's heavily backed by the Simons Foundation. And they're currently hunting for a CEO with a $300,000 a year salary.
And the person who takes that CEO role essentially controls the valve of open source AI theory.
That's a lot of power.
It is. I mean, how do you manage an exponential curve of research? Do you implement AI systems to peer review other AI papers? Do you gatekeep certain types of model architectures from being published?
Right, because of safety concerns or whatever.
Exactly. ArcSif going independent means the research layer is actively preparing for a world where the volume of AI discovery just totally outpaces traditional academic infrastructure.
But you can't run an independent academic research lab on theory alone. If ArcSif is going to gatekeep the future of open source models, the developers still need the raw silicon to actually test them.
The compute.
Yep. And that is sparking a massive geographical turf war over compute power. This week, the state of Montana passed the right to compute law.
This was fascinating to read.
They are the first state to legally protect AI compute rights, laying the explicit groundwork for distributed AI infrastructure.
Because until now, the massive compute clusters required to train these models have been consolidating into the hands of the hyperscalers.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon, Google, Microsoft.
The big guys.
Right. Montana's legislation is trying to carve out a legal safe haven for a decentralized approach. It literally guarantees that individuals and smaller entities have a legal right to run computational mathematics at scale.
Now, this creates a massive legal collision course. The newsletter notes that federal agencies are deeply concerned about this precedent. We have state initiatives looking to attract tech infrastructure and grant computational freedom, directly clashing with federal agencies that are worried about national grid security, energy consumption, and the potential export of powerful cryptographic or AI models.
It's a huge friction point.
It is, and I want to pause here and be incredibly clear with you, the listener. We are not taking any political sides here. Left wing, right wing, federal government versus state rights. We are strictly remaining impartial. We are not endorsing any viewpoints. We are simply trying to convey the ideas in the source material and analyze the structural tension.
Absolutely. We're just looking at the mechanics of the conflict.
Right. So looking at that conflict, if a startup wants to build a distributed cluster in Montana, how do they even navigate that legal minefield?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it basically forces AI founders to become geopolitical strategists from day one.
Wow, day one.
Yeah, regulatory arbitrage is going to become just as important as code optimization.
That's crazy to think about.
If the federal government attempts to restrict power grid access for AI data centers, states like Montana are essentially saying, come here, we treat compute as a fundamental freedom. We might see a world where compute clusters are treated almost like offshore tax havens.
Oh, I see. Moving across state lines to jurisdictions that offer the most favorable legal protections.
Exactly.
Now, while the billionaires, the hyperscalers, and the state governments are fighting over massive data centers and legal jurisdictions, the actual boots-on-the-ground innovation is happening quietly on GitHub with individual open-source developers.
The open-source underground is thriving right now.
It really is. And the Stack Updates section of the newsletter is incredible this week. The agent orchestration space is absolutely exploding. Look at OpenViking.
Oh, OpenViking is a game changer.
It just crossed 10,000 stars on GitHub because it introduces a complete file system paradigm for agent memory.
Which solves the most glaring technical bottleneck for autonomous agents right now. The context window problem.
Right, the goldfish memory.
Exactly. Huh. Currently, if you want an AI agent to remember something, you have to stuff that information into its context window. But the context window is essentially short-term memory.
And it runs out fast.
It does. As it fills up, the attention mechanisms degrade, the computational cost scales quadratically, and the model dissolves that goldfish memory. It literally forgets the beginning of the prompt by the time it reaches the end.
But OpenViking bypasses that entirely, right?
Yes. It gives the AI an external memory drive. The agent can actively decide to save a specific preference or fact to a discrete file and then load it later, exactly the way an operating system organizes files.
That is so elegant.
It allows for reliable, infinite context over long periods, which is the missing link for AI agents that actually need to execute complex multi-day workflows.
That is amazing. And alongside that, we're seeing a massive resurgence in Microsoft's BitNet framework, which hit 1,300 stars this week. This is the push for one-bit LLM inference.
The one-bit quantization.
Yeah. And here's where it gets really interesting, because the mechanics of this are mind-blowing. Standard models use 16-bit floating-point numbers for every single weight in their neural network.
Which is incredibly heavy.
Exactly. Moving those massive, complex numbers from RAM to the processor takes an absurd amount of energy and memory bandwidth. But BitNet uses quantization to compress those weights down to essentially trinary values, negative 1, 0, or 1.
Which is brilliant because it replaces complex energy-intensive multiplication with simple addition.
Right.
That drastically reduces the memory bandwidth required. It is the exact mechanism that allows incredibly powerful foundational models to run locally on standard consumer hardware.
Like just a regular laptop.
Exactly. Completely untethered from the massive data centers in Montana we were just talking about.
Which perfectly sets the stage for two highly specific kind of rebel-like projects highlighted in the newsletter, NanoChat and Heretic.
I love these projects.
NanoChat is Andrej Karpathy's minimalist $100 implementation of ChatGPT. It's like looking at the transparent gears of a skeleton watch instead of a sealed Apple Watch.
That's a great analogy.
Karpathy basically stripped away the massive server racks and the corporate obfuscation so you can literally watch the math, turn the gears one word at a time. It's absolute educational gold.
It demystifies the magic entirely. It proves to individual developers that you don't need a billion-dollar seed round to understand the fundamental architecture of intelligence.
Right. And then there is Heretic.
Heretic is wild.
Heretic is an automatic censorship removal tool for language models. The newsletter literally says it exists because someone had to build it.
And it's a direct engineered counter movement to corporate safety rails. This loops right back to Meta delaying Avocado AI for safety testing.
The alignment tax again?
Precisely. While massive corporations are spending millions of dollars trying to align their models and often crippling their reasoning abilities in the process, the open source community is actively building tools to strip those exact rails away.
Wow.
They're dismantling the alignment tax. It is a wholesale rejection of corporate gatekeeping.
So what does this all mean? We're looking at an ecosystem that is completely fracturing. We are witnessing a massive fork in the road. On one side, you have Jan LeCun's billion-dollar bet that current LLMs are fundamentally incapable of physical reasoning.
Yep.
You have corporations like Anthropic pivoting away from consumer capability to lock in enterprise monopolies. And you have the physical decentralization of academic research, with ArcSif going independent and compute power with Montana's new laws.
And all of this matters to you, whether you are building the technology or simply living downstream of it.
Totally.
If you are a professional, your resume might be screened by an automated pipeline like Juicebox tomorrow morning. If you are a developer, the tools you use to orchestrate agents or compress models are shifting daily. The future of your digital workflow is literally being negotiated right now between open source rebels on GitHub and trillion-dollar hyperscalers.
It's an incredible time to be watching the architecture of the space shift. But looking at everything we've unpacked today, there's one final piece of this puzzle that really sticks with me.
Which is?
Well, it raises an important question for the road ahead. Think about it. If developers right now can give AI flawless long-term memory with OpenViking,
right?
If they can run it efficiently on consumer laptops using one-bit quantization, and if they can use tools like Heretic to strip away all corporate censorship and alignment, the models of tomorrow are going to be entirely autonomous and perfectly unrestrained.
They'll be everywhere.
Exactly. And if that is the case, the next billion-dollar industry won't be building a smarter AI. The next massive industry will be building digital immune systems.
Oh, wow.
Personal AI firewalls designed strictly to protect your data and your workflow from everyone else's uncensored agents roaming the web.
That is a terrifying but probably accurate thought experiment.
It's the trillion-dollar thought experiment, and it's exactly why we have to keep checking the foundation while everyone else is staring at the penthouse. Thank you for joining us at the table today for this deep dive.
Keep questioning the architecture. We will see you next time.